du hører på Salts podcast. Vi håper den vil inspirere deg og utruste deg til en hverdag I etterfølgelse av Jesus. Du alltid velkommen til våre forsamlinger, og akkurat nå starter vi opp I Trondheim og Skien I tillegg til de forsamlingene vi har I Hordaland. Sjekk våre nettsider for mer info. Og nå, god lytting!
Ah, it's fantastic! You know, normally when I go to a place, I'm very careful when I sing, because sometimes when I start singing, some people get very excited and they want to come up and touch my leg and stuff like that. So I want to thank you for restraining yourself today. Obviously, the teaching on self-control here has been working. Do I have some lovers of Jesus in the house this morning? Let's give the Lord a big praise here. Come on, somebody praise him. Hallelujah. I am so excited I could crush a grape. I could take a toilet tissue and rip it like this in one go. And so excited to actually become friends with your amazing pastors, Øystein and Gina. Give it up for two wonderful people here. Ever since Pastor Øystein invited me to come, I've been really excited because I honestly believe that you are on the verge of something incredible here in Bergen, and not just in Bergen, but what God's about to do amongst you here is not just going to affect Bergen, but it's going to affect the world. And I just feel so privileged to be here today to be part of that. Thank you for the wonderful accommodation. The tent was waterproof, and they came this morning with some bread and cheese, and they opened the flap, and thank you so much. I mean, I've never known hospitality like it, but, you know, have you come with an expectation this morning? You know, I've learned after being over 35 years in the ministry that clever words don't change anyone, but right words in the Holy Spirit will revolutionize your life. And I believe I've got such a word in my spirit for you today. Normally, I'm a very deep theological teacher. I can teach on the left armpit of the Antichrist and spiritualize that and how it's significant in these last days, and I would deal with that hair by hair, but I'm not going to do that today. I just, you know what, there's an Old Testament law concerning worship where God said to his people, if you come into my presence from the east gate, then you have to leave through the west gate. If you come into my presence from the north gate, then you have to leave from the south gate. In other words, God says to his people, when you come into my presence, you don't leave the same way as you came into my presence. So if that's the case under the old covenant, how much more under the new covenant, when we gather together in the name of Jesus? Listen, I'm telling you, if you came in here this morning sick, I'm going to believe that even during the preaching, you will leave healed in Jesus' name. If you came in here depressed and heavy-hearted, I'm believing that you will leave with joy and vision in your heart. If you came in confused, wondering what on earth is happening in my life right now, I believe with all of my heart, you're going to leave with the wisdom of God in your heart and in your mind. Come on, is the expectation level high here? We are not going to leave the way we came in. Thank you, Jesus. And, you know, I just by way of introduction, my name is Ray. I'm 34 years of age. And no, seriously, my granddaughter, I was sharing with Øystein and Gina last night that my granddaughter, she's 9 this year. But 4 years ago, we were just sitting in the garden and I was just discussing the problems of the Middle East with her. She was 5 years of age then. And in fact, I was getting more sense than some politicians. And we were just chatting away. And she looked at me and she says, Bumper, how old are you, Bumper? And I said, I'm 65, Eva. This was 4 years ago. And she looked at me and she starts crying hysterical. Crying, really crying. So I'm calming her down. I said, Eva, what's the matter with you? Bumper, I don't want you to die, Bumper. And I'm thinking, is this kid prophesying something here now or what? Getting a bit scared here. I said, I'm not going to die, Eva. But Bumper, you're going to be 100 soon. And everybody dies when they're 100. And then all of a sudden, this look came over her face like when Elliot saw E.T. for the first time. That look of wonder came over her face and started to glow. And I said, Eva, what's happening? She says, Bumper, I know what to do. I said, what is that, Eva? I'm going to make you 30. I said, okay, how are you going to make me 30 then? Bumper, are you stupid? Tinkerbell. Of course, I should have known. I said, how is Tinkerbell going to make me 30? Bumper, fairy dust, fairy dust. Of course, I should have known it was the fairy dust. She said, last night, the tooth fairy came and left some fairy dust in my bedroom. And I'm going to throw it over you. And when I throw it over you, you're going to become 30. I said, how much have you got? Have you got a lot of it? Because I'm going to need quite a bit of this stuff. Are you ready, Bumper? I said, I'm ready. She threw this stuff over me, and I went with it. I went with it. I said, Eva, what's happening? It's like electricity going through my body. I can't breathe. She says, Bumper, don't fight it, Bumper. Don't fight it. And then I said, wow, what's just happened, Eva? She says, Bumper, you are now 30. And she went off to play with her dolls. Give it up for my granddaughter, Eva. I mean, absolutely amazing. She sent me a birthday card the following year. Happy 31st birthday. But last year, I'm driving her to school, and she's looking at me like when kids stare at you. And she's just staring at me. I said, Eva, why are you staring at me? She says, Bumper, I think it's wearing off. But you see, she believes it. You see, she lives in a world where pumpkins become golden carriages. She lives in a world where wooden boys become real boys. She lives in a world where magic mirrors speak. She lives in a world of wonder. We know it's fantasy, but she believes it's real. And you know, during that incident, as my little granddaughter walked off, the Lord said to me, Ray, why can't you be like this with me? Have you lost the wonder of what I brought you into? Why have you become so cluttered in your mind and so cluttered in your emotions? And then this scripture made sense to me. Unless you become like a little child, then you're never going to see what I have in store for you. And this morning, all I'm asking, I believe all the Holy Spirit wants us to do, is to unclutter ourselves. Just unclutter our minds, unclutter our stuff, the stuff that's going on in our life. And just become like a little child, not childish, but childlike, and receive from God. Do you know one of the biggest problems Christians have? It's not with sin. It's not with circumstances. Do you know the biggest problem that Christians have? It's with receiving from Jesus. We know how to repent. Oh, we can repent. We can cry. We can have snot on the carpet. We can be rolling around on the floor. And then after 3 or 4 hours of repentance, we think, now we are ready for God to receive us. Well, you've just sinned again, because that's pride. So we go through this. No, this is not the time for the church to repent. This is the time for the church to receive. But we find it so difficult. Because we beat ourselves up because we think, wow, you know, but my performance this week hasn't been good as a Christian. You know. And do you know what? For too long, the church has been a place where a guilty preacher has been telling a guilty congregation how to feel more guilty. Well, thank God, God's grace has arrived. Come on. There's a fresh revelation of the grace of God. You know, there's one translation. Let me just share this with you before I go any further, because it was a revelation to me. I was preaching in Australia in a pastor's conference, and they put me in a lovely hotel. It was on the 8th floor, room 826. So after I preached, I came back. I'm sitting on the balcony, looking up at the Australian starry sky, sipping my cappuccino. And as I'm sitting there on the 8th floor on a private balcony, I felt something rub up against my legs on the 8th floor. I'm thinking, just keep looking straight forward. Don't look down. So then a couple of minutes later, this thing started weaving in and out my legs. And I'm thinking, it's a flashback from the 60s. Too much of this in the 60s, it's a flashback. Because you can have that, you get the flashbacks, you know what I'm saying? So then I looked down, and this is what I saw. Could you put that photograph up there? Don't say, oh, it frightened the crap out of me. It's a white rabbit. On the 8th floor, I'm thinking, my God, if this rabbit asks me the time, I'm jumping off this flipping balcony. No way. So I got up and I did my Navy SEAL walk back into the hotel, into my room, and I rang reception. And I said, excuse me. Yes, Mr. Bevan, how can we help you? Help me. I said, there's a white rabbit on my balcony. And there was a pregnant pause. And this patronizing voice said, okay. I said, okay, what am I going to do about this rabbit? Just leave it there, Mr. Bevan. Okay. I went back out onto the balcony and the rabbit had gone. I thought, yes. Definitely a flashback. We found out later, actually, that like somebody had a pet rabbit and it got out of their room and got under a little gap and so I realized I wasn't crazy after all, you know, I listen to God in the normal stuff of life, because He has the most profound lessons to teach us. I said, Lord, what about this rabbit? He said, my grace is like this. My grace will turn up at the most unlikely places, to surprise the most unlikely people in the most unlikely ways. And one translation of the word grace is joyful surprise. And I honestly believe for many of you today, you are in store for a joyful surprise. Something that you've been seeking God for, something that you've been asking God for. I honestly believe it could be God has sent this little hobbit from the Shire to tell you that God can do far above all that you can ask or even imagine. You know, grace is the factor in my life that causes me to live my life continually surprised. With all my fears and all my failures and all my insecurities as a man and as a minister, I'm so surprised that He still uses me the way that He does. With all my bad decisions and my sins, as a Christian, I'm so surprised that somehow He can take all the mess and work it together for my good, because I love Him. With all my refusals to forgive other people, when I'm offended and hurt and betrayed, I'm surprised that He never refuses to forgive me and to love me. And this is one thing that really blows me away. When I'm at my weakest, emotionally and physically and spiritually, he chooses those times to reveal his greatest strength in my life. When I'm weak, that is when I am strong. And some of you are there this morning. Some of you may be here this morning. And because of a series of events, because of one thing after another, you are here and you may be at your emotional lowest, your spiritual lowest, and it's even taken an effect on your body. Some of you can't even sleep at night because of the stuff that's happened. Well, you're going to be joyfully surprised, because when you are at your weakest, that's when God decides to show up and show you his greatest strength. Am I talking to the right people here this morning? Now watch this. I'm going somewhere with this. I just want to flow with the Holy Ghost here. I want you to imagine, because when I give you this illustration, it's going to describe exactly where you are today. Imagine it's a boxing match, and in the ring, we have a Christian fighting the devil. It's going great. There's 10,000 Christians in the audience, and they're screaming encouragement to the Christian. Give him one for me. And the Christian is smacking the devil around the ring. And then suddenly, the Christian gets distracted somehow, and the devil catches the Christian, smacks her down onto the canvas, and the referee starts the count. The audience are screaming, get up, Christian. You can't give up now. You can't lose now. You were doing so well. The count starts. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There's no movement. The crowd are screaming. 6, 7, 8, 9. The crowd goes silent. The devil stands on the bottom rope, ready to punch the air in victory. And the referee counts 10. The crowd are deathly silent. The devil screams at the crowd, easy, next. And then a shudder of horror goes through the whole being of the devil as he hears these words come from the other side of the ring. 11. 12, 13, 14. The devil runs over to the referee, who happens to be called Grace, and he screams in the face of Grace and says, that's not fair. And Grace says, I know it, but I'm going to keep on counting until my servant gets up off the canvas, because what I've started in her life, I will bring to completion. And the one thing I've discovered about the grace of God is that when religion counts you out, when life counts you out, when people count you out, listen, when you've counted yourself out, grace will keep on counting until you get up off the floor and finish what God has started in your life. I honestly believe some of you have been knocked out by disappointment. You've been knocked out by disappointment. And you're on the canvas this morning. And you look at other Christians and you think, yeah, I can understand how God is blessing them, but I'm done. Well, you may be done, but God is not done. You may want to give up, but God will never, ever give up on you. Somebody say amen in this place right here. Come on, give Jesus some praise in this place. I'm preaching myself very happy. Oh, my God, we've got another 3 hours. I like this church. Some of you are disappointed with yourself. Some of you have counted yourself out because you haven't been the Christian that you know you should have been. You may have fallen into some sin. You may have failed Jesus, and religion has counted you out, and You believe the negative words and you hear and you're thinking, I don't know if even God loves me anymore. I want to tell you something about the grace of God. Grace gives you a score that you don't deserve. And some of you aren't here and you've counted yourself out and you're disappointed with yourself because of your behavior. Listen to me. Some of you have been told that you can behave your way out of God's love. That you can behave your way out of God's will. I want to tell you, based on the immaculate, wonderful grace of God, that is a lie from hell. You couldn't behave your way into God's love, and you certainly can't behave your way out of God's love. Nothing can separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, including yourself. When the angel of death passed through the streets of Egypt, he was given one command. When you see blood splattered on the doorposts of a house, you pass over judgment. Because when you see the blood, God said to the angel of death, when you see the blood, it's an indication to you that the people inside the house have believed my sacrifice for them to save them from judgment. Now, when the angel of death came up to the house and saw the blood, he didn't say, now, that's too easy. I'm going to go inside. And I'm going to check out how these people have behaved before I pass over judgment. No, God says, angel of death, when you see the blood, you pass over judgment. I declare to you, it's got nothing to do with your behavior, but everything to do with his blood. And his blood, as far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed my transgression from me. Come on, somebody say amen in this place, right here. So joyful, be joyfully surprised. You're accepted, not based on your performance, but on his. Some of you are disappointed with other people. And I felt this very strong this morning while preparing for the service. Some of you have been knocked out by unfair treatment. You've been unfairly treated. It's unjust what they did to you. It's unfair what they said to you. And some of you are here and you have been knocked out. You're on the canvas because the very people who you felt should stand with you are the ones that have treated you so unfairly. And the reason why it hurts so badly, it's not because of what was done to you. It was because who did it to you. And I just feel you are here. An unfair treatment. You know, I've been a Christian since, well, I helped Noah to build the ark. That's how long ago. And I've learned that we're not living in a perfect world and we're not living in a perfect church yet. And the sting of betrayal and the sting of unfair treatment can really devastate you if you don't know how to deal with it. And I remember going through a season where I was devastated. In fact, that song I sang, which you can buy on a CD after, if you still have a CD. But also, listen, before I go any further, I'm just touching on this whole subject of grace. It's revolutionized my life completely. I used to preach grace a lot. But then I met a guy called Joseph Prince from Singapore. And we become very good friends. And I began to realize I used to preach grace a lot, but now I have to preach grace alone. Because that's the message of the gospel. And I got 10 hours of teaching on here on my journey into this amazing revelation of grace alone. It's only 100 kroner. You can check that out on the way out. But when I was, that song I sang to you, Have a Little Faith in Me, it's a secular song. But I was going through a season when the devil knocked me on the canvas through unfair treatment. I didn't expect the source of the abuse. That's what made it so hard. And, you know, I was a seasoned Christian, and it caught me by surprise. And I just wanted to give up the ministry. I said, I've had enough of this. And I'm so down, I'm on the canvas. And then a friend of mine, a professional comedian in the UK, he said, Ray, come and spend some time with me. So I went up to his house. I was so down. I couldn't pray. Didn't want to read the Bible. I didn't want to pray for anybody. In fact, I wanted to do anything but pray for people. There were certain people I didn't want to pray for. So I went up to his house, and he said, Ray, come in, sit down there, and listen to this song. And he played me that song I sang to you. And it was as if Jesus took the microphone and sang the song to me personally and said, Ray, come on, have a little faith in me. I said, but Lord, how do I deal with these feelings? How do I deal with these real emotions that are dancing on my heart because of this betrayal, because of this unfair treatment? And right there, Jesus showed me how to deal with it. And I'm going to share this scripture with you. I should have given it to the guys there to put it up on the screen, but it's in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 23. And Jesus said to me, this is how I dealt with betrayal. He said, Ray, don't try to deal with this emotional abuse with emotional weapons. He said, your weapons are spiritual. And this is what it says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 23. Peter talking about Jesus on the cross. You can't get more unfair treatment than that. And Peter says, he did not retaliate when he was insulted, nor did he threaten revenge when he suffered. And this is what got to me. He left his case in the hands of God, who judges fairly. Wow. It exploded in me. Here's the problem. We don't like letting go. We don't like handing it over to God because we feel we have to do something. Come on, somebody. Am I talking to the right people here? Jesus never responded to unfair treatment emotionally. He responded revelationally. Here's the problem, and this is what some of you are going to do this morning. Because it's out of your control. People's behavior towards you is out of your control. You can't control the responses of people or the behavior of people to you. But this is what you're going to have to do. And this is what I did, and it set me free. You have to surrender control of an out-of-control situation. You're going to surrender control. And do you know what? When we break bread this morning, when we take the bread and when we take the wine or the juice and when we remember the Lord's death, what he did for us, you know what? You're actually going to surrender control of an out-of-control situation. Come on, somebody say amen here. Amen. Do you know why we don't like surrendering control? Because we don't like the feeling that comes with it, the feeling of being vulnerable. But listen, being vulnerable is the essence of trusting God. That's why trusting God is so hard. Listen, you can't get more vulnerable than this. And you know, it's during those times when Jesus said to me, he said, like words like this, Ray, stay on the cross. It's safer there. It's vulnerable there. Come on, Jesus, prove yourself. And perhaps there are people in your lives, come on, prove yourself. Defend yourself. Speak up for yourself. Tell them what the, and you, come off the cross, Jesus. Do you know what his response was? Come on, somebody say amen here. It's going to take that. To surrender your case into the hands of God, it's going to take you surrendering control. You will feel vulnerable. You know what the Lord said to me during these, you know, stuff like that? He said, Ray, I'm not really impressed with how you respond to Palm Sunday praise. I want to see how you react to Good Friday's nails. Because you know what? How you react to Good Friday's nails will not only set you free, but revolutionize the lives of people who are watching. There was a hardened centurion standing at the foot of the cross. He probably heard Jesus preach, probably seen his miracles. But do you know what convinced him? How he responded to unfair treatment. Father, forgive them because they don't know what they are doing. What was the response of the centurion? This guy's the real deal. This guy is who he says he is. This guy is the Son of God. Come on, somebody say amen. I'm telling you, the most powerful lesson you can show other people who are watching you is how you react to unfair treatment. Come on, give Jesus some praise. Woo! I'm nearly done. Am I okay for time? Can you take one more of these? Can you take one more of these? Amen. Well, three people, so I'm going to keep on going then. So some of you have been knocked on the floor, disappointment with yourself. Some of you, disappointment with people. But here's the biggie. Some of you are disappointed with God. You know why? Because he didn't turn up when you expected him to turn up. I don't know if you're like me, right? But you know when you go to pray, you're praying for a problem. In your mind, you've worked out how God's going to answer. Aren't we just like that? We pray. We're praying for an unsaved friend. We're praying for a problem. We're praying for a financial. We're praying for a marital thing. We're praying for a healing. And in our minds, we see how God is going to answer. God says, not even close. I mean, Mary and Martha had an idea on how Jesus was going to heal their brother. I mean, Jesus and Mary and Martha and Lazarus were tight. I mean, it was like his second home. They'd sit there eating pizza, watching Sky Sports, and having a great time. Watch the you know, the National Geographic channel. He was loving it. He loved it there. And then one day he says to Mary and Martha and Lazarus, listen, I got to go do some preaching, so thanks for everything. I'll see you soon. So off he goes. And in the meantime, Lazarus becomes sick. Has the flu or something. I don't know. Why are you asking me what was wrong with Lazarus? I don't know. What was wrong with Lazarus? Can we just say that he was sick? So he's sick. Could have had a sign. I don't know. So he became sick, right? So Mary and Martha, no problem. Sent a text to Jesus. Jesus, come and heal Lazarus. In their mind, they imagine how Jesus was going to do it. Well, they've seen him do it many times. He'll come, just lay hands on him, and then voila. Sent him a text. Jesus reads the text. They know he read it because there's two blue ticks on there. Doesn't that get to you? When you send a text to a friend, the two ticks, and they don't respond. Give me a break. So they send him 3 emails and 4 pigeons, nothing. Come and heal Lazarus, nothing. So he shows the disciples. They said, okay, we're going to go there. No, no, we're staying here. And he stayed there. He did not respond to Mary and Martha's expectation. So Lazarus snuffs it. That's Welsh for he died. He got worse. He died. They put him in a tomb, rolled the stone across the tomb. Everybody's crying. 4 days in the tomb. His body is decomposing. And the Jews believed on the 4th day, that's when the spirit leaves the body. So it was difficult. Now it's impossible. Who turns up? Hey, what's up? Mary and Martha. What's up? Calm down, ladies. Calm down. Calm down. We can't calm down. We are women. You made us like this. We can't. Calm down. Calm down. Where were you, Jesus? Where were you? Is that calmed? If you can believe, if you can become like a child, watch this. You see, the reason why Jesus did not meet their expectation is because he wanted to exceed them. And I'm telling you right now, those of you who are disappointed with God because he has not turned up when you expected or how you expected, no, no, listen, listen. God will turn up. I said, God will turn up in his time and with one desire. He doesn't just want to meet your expectation. He wants to exceed. In fact, do you know what he wants to do? He wants to do far above all you can ask or even imagine. And I honestly believe, I've heard the story about you are believing for a new building. I'm telling you, I don't care what's come against you. I don't care what's been said. I don't care what the situation is right now. I don't care if God has not met your expectations. He's about to do far above all that you can ask or imagine. Come on, somebody. Roll the stone away. What? Roll the stone away. Lazarus! Do you know why he named him? Because if he had said, dead person, every dead person within the sound of his voice, it would have been like a precursor of Michael Jackson's Thriller. They would have come out, come on, man. He is the resurrection and he is the life. And when Jesus speaks, life comes out of the tomb. Oh, give Jesus some praise in this house, somebody. Give him praise. Fantastic. No, he wants to exceed them. What is it that's gone from difficult to impossible? Father, we give you praise. We give you thanks. Stand with me right now. Just stand with me. Right, musicians, come. We're going to break bread in just a moment. If you've received the word of the Lord this morning, I want you to give him a big clap and a big shout right here. Come on, give him a big... Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Just close your eyes right now. I want to pray. I'm Holy Ghost, watch over your word right now. Lord, as we break bread together, Lord, I thank you that people are going to surrender control of an out of control situation. Lord, they are going to get up off the canvas. They're going to believe that you love them. They're going to believe that their greatest days are ahead of them. They're going to believe that you're going to do far above all that they can ask or imagine. So, Lord, as Pastor Oyston comes to lead us right now in communion, Lord Jesus, help us to focus. Help us to focus. Help us to do what you've asked us to do. Help us to receive in Jesus' name.
Takk for at du lyttet til podcasten til Salt. For å høre flere, besøk oss på saltbergen.no.